Welcome to Our Shepherd's View, an in-depth discussion with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, 8th Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of Corpus Christi. Join us now as Bishop Mulvey reflects on issues and events facing Catholics and people of all faiths.
Good morning, friends, and welcome to Our Shepherd's View on this Pentecost Sunday, which brings an end to our Easter season. I'm Barbara Little, here with Bishop Michael Mulvey. And today we will read the Gospel from St. John and hear and discuss the Word of Life for June. Please stay with us and we will be right back.
I am with you always. The Eucharistic Congress 2022 will run from June 18th through 25th. A number of activities will take place, including the lead-up to the event, the Feast of Corpus Christi. During the week-long event, there'll be opportunities for the faithful to sign up to spend time with the Lord in adoration. The Sacrament of Holy Orders to the Priesthood will be celebrated in the Cathedral on June 18th. June 24th's opening Mass will celebrate the 110th anniversary of the Diocese of Corpus Christi. June 25th, the Eucharistic Congress Conference will take place at the Omni Corpus Christi Hotel, followed by individual parish celebrations on June 26th. A complete schedule of events can be downloaded at diocesecc.org/EC22.
Welcome back to the good old times. It's fun and games, with maybe a light snack or two. The St. Patrick Altar and Rosary Society is resuming its annual card parties on Saturday, June 11th, in the Parish Hall, 3350 South Alameda, from noon until 4 p.m. It'll be a fun day of getting together with family, friends, and members of the parish and other parishes. Reserve a table for your group. Bring your cards, dice, or favorite board game from home and enjoy a relaxed atmosphere with good friends and good food. Men are welcome. Proceeds from the card party help fund various expenses incurred by the parish, including flowers, candles, altar wine, hosts, and numerous other expenses. For more information, call Mary Helen 361-688-5139.
Welcome back to Our Shepherd's View. Well, good morning, Bishop, and how are you this morning?
Good morning, Barbara. Very well. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Greetings to everyone who's listening this morning.
Yes.
Yes, last week we had an encore presentation, and I missed the opportunity on KLUX to express my deep sorrow and sympathy over the mass shootings of innocent lives in Uvalde. We've all watched the accounts over the past week and a half and are certainly still somber over that horrible event. So I just want to say that the prayers, my own prayers, the prayers of the diocese have been strong over these past 10 days, praying for those that lost their life, but for their families and the community as well. The small community like that is impacted so, so harshly. And so our prayers and thoughts are with them, and we'll keep praying for them. And for an end to violence throughout the world, and especially in small communities, schools, that this has got to stop.
Yes, very tragic situation. And then in our own community, we had a tragedy a couple of days ago before high school graduation.
Yes, right.
So
yeah,
we
thoughts and prayers to those families as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, from Murray High School. So. All right, well, our gospel this morning is from St. John, so let's prepare our hearts and minds to listen to his word.
As Barbara said, this is Pentecost Sunday, so the reading is from St. John's Gospel, chapter 20. In the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. And Jesus said to them again, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. Well, from a personal aspect, I've always loved Pentecost Sunday. You know, I love coming into the church and everything is red. The sadness of it for me is that it's no longer the Easter season and the Easter candle is not lit anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it's a beautiful Sunday.
Yes. What strikes me today, and of course every day, at Mass, we always have the sign of peace. Mm-hmm. But what strikes me is on this first appearance of Jesus after the resurrection, after his resurrection from the dead, as he comes before the apostles with the words of peace, peace be with you. And here he says it twice. In the first instance, they were afraid. They were afraid of people who were still looking for them, who were still incredulous to what was going on. And so Jesus comes to calm their fears and says, peace be with you. And the second time he says it, they were in a little different attitude. You could say that St. John says they rejoiced when they saw the Lord, and he says, peace be with you. And I think that those two moments can be looked at today on this Pentecost Sunday, because when the Lord gave us his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity, he did so as a permanent presence in the life of the church, but in the life of every one of us. When we are confirmed, the bishop says, be sealed with the Holy Spirit, or as I've been telling the young people who may understand a little better, be branded with the Holy Spirit. You are marked with the Holy Spirit, not in a sense that you belong to a herd, but that you are permanently sealed. You're permanently in relationship with the Holy Spirit. So even in your fears, and I say that to all of us today with all that's going on in life, our fears are useless. They're certainly a human reaction, and they're certainly part of us. But when we can understand that Jesus is present with us in his Holy Spirit, living in us and living among us, we can go beyond our fears. And it's through peace. I would suggest to all of us, just on a practical level, that whenever there is great fear, that instead of reacting to that fear, or instead of playing that fear out or letting that fear persist in our life, I would say be calm, take some time, take a moment in a corner of the house, in a corner of a room, and just continue to say those words, peace be with you, that the Lord's peace is there. We as Christians are conquerors of sin and death. And when a fear overtakes us, fear is a human reaction. Mm-hmm. But when fear overtakes us and really becomes part of our life, then we've allowed the fear to conquer our life, conquer our day, conquer our moment, or conquer the situation. And it cannot, because Jesus Christ is risen from the dead and lives in us. And so he must conquer. And to allow that to happen, because we are humans, we have to allow him to be there in all of his effectiveness. And so, peace be with you. Just to say that, those words over and over and over, in whatever situation, to allow his peace to be with us, which is one of the first fruits of the Spirit in our life, love and peace and many others. So I would just say, on that first note of when Jesus came in the midst of their fear, that in our own fear, allow his peace to conquer in that moment.
And, you know, he said that, and he wanted them to remember that they need to get over any fear they have and then go out and carry on his word, carry on what his mission was.
Yeah, you use the word get over it. I think those are human words.
I just wanted to say people
don't get the wrong impression. We don't get over something.
True.
We allow something to replace it. So in our fear, again, is let God's peace mm-hmm. be more a part of us and let it conquer in us. So, yes. The second one is that when he shows himself again, when he continues on, the disciples begin to rejoice when they realize that he is there. And I think that's a natural movement from our fears, allowing God's peace, and then we become more joyful and our eyes are open. And it's at that point, again, in this appearance of Jesus at Pentecost, where Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." If we have been given gifts, and I mean spiritual gifts, we need to share them. Christianity was always missionary from the very beginning. If you have received what you have received as a gift, give as a gift. And here at Pentecost, when Jesus gives them the Holy Spirit in their lives and overcomes their fears by his own presence, he's now saying, "As the Father sent me, so I send you." And why did the Father send him? The Father sent him, Jesus, to bring that good news of life over death, over peace over fear, love over hate. And so more than ever, I would say to all of us, more than ever, we are missionaries. Mm-hmm. Our world has continually disintegrated into the effects of evil and the fruits of evil. And it's more than ever that you and I, not so much by taking up arms or not so much by having the louder voice, but having the greater example, the greater signs of God's presence, the Holy Spirit's presence in our lives. And so when Jesus sent them on a mission, "Peace be with you, as the Father has sent me, so I send you," he sends us with the mission of good over evil, of love over hatred, peace over war, peace over fear, hope over despair. We have to be convinced of that. Mm-hmm. If we really are a Christian, if we really are serious with our baptism, then we have the toolbox. We don't need to have somebody else do it. We, in every situation, whether it's in the family or at work or wherever we are, the solution is there inside of us. But to allow that to be effective and to come about is so important nowadays. And so in the last part, there's three paragraphs here. He breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive, they are forgiven. And whose sins you retain, they are retained." I think in a broader sense, certainly we could look at the sacrament of reconciliation there as a sign of Jesus' wanting to have his forgiveness as a part of the life of the church, but also to show that the power of forgiveness is greater than the power of sin. The Spirit of God, the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, is greater than the evil that we are experiencing now. Each one of us carries that power in us. So I would say, to all of us, as Pentecost is celebrated today and we continue through this next year, liturgical year, that let's truly be believers in the power that it lies in each one of us through the Holy Spirit and bring about, people say bring about change. Well, we bring about change when we bring God into the environment. You know, we can't look for easy solutions to our problems. We have to change ourselves and change what's going on around us. Just taking a gun out of somebody's hand is not going to change things. Changing the society, bringing the values that people belittle that we have is what's needed. Family is important, as we can see in all of these cases. Love and friendship is so important. Many of these young people and others are excluded. There's so much that we have that we cannot just point to someone else and said, bring about change, legislative change. Yes, legislative change, improvement, certainly. But we, as disciples of Jesus Christ, have to take seriously who we are to.
And I would think, Bishop, when we're trying to decide how to do that, it's through prayer and listening to what God wants us to do.
It's through prayer, but then action.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Thank you, Bishop. We are going to take a short break, and when we return, we will read and discuss the Word of Life for June. Please stay with us, and we will be right back.
For many centuries, the Catholic Holy Mass was celebrated in Latin. Today, that tradition continues and is referred to as the extraordinary form of the Mass. The faithful at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, 7522 Everhart in Corpus Christi, invite you to join them at the extraordinary form of the Mass in Latin, as encouraged by St. John Paul II and Pope Benedict XVI, complete with Gregorian chant and with Father Rodolfo Vasquez presiding, every Sunday at 10:15 a.m. after recitation of the Holy Rosary. Daily Low Mass takes place every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday at 12:05 p.m. St. Edmund Campion Missals in Latin and English are provided for your convenience. For more information, call Jackie Hine at St. John the Baptist Catholic Church, 361-443-1945.
Welcome back to our Shepherd's View. Well, this is the first Sunday in June, and we have another Word of Life. And, you know, at the beginning of the Word of Life that Bishop is going to read, it says, "Find new hope." And I think that's a beautiful intro to what our scripture phrase is this morning.
Yes, it's one of my favorites, and over the 40-something years that I've been doing this particular practice of taking the one sentence a month and trying to incorporate it into my own life, into my this one has come up several times, and it's really one of my favorites. Just to be able, even in the morning, just to get up and say, "You, Lord, are my only good," or heading into a difficult situation, just to say, "You're my only good," and which allows us not to put ourselves above the power of God that's inside of us, but to let Him operate and work in us through the Holy Spirit. So it's a very special, simple word of God that comes through the Psalm 16, but very important. So, "You are my Lord. I have no good apart from you." This month's Word of Life is taken from the Book of Psalms, which contains some of the finest prayers attributed to King David and others. They are fruit of God's inspiration and teach us how to turn to Him and trust. We can all find ourselves expressed in the Psalms. They touch the soul intimately and express the deepest, most intense human feelings: doubt, grief, anger, anguish, despair, hope, praise, thanksgiving, and joy. That is why they can be repeated by every man and woman at all ages, from all cultures, and at every moment of life. "You are my Lord, I have no good apart from you." Psalm 16 was a favorite of many spiritual authors. For example, St. Teresa of Avila commented, "Nothing is lacking to those who possess God. God alone is enough for them." Father Antonius Firki Raphael, a theologian of the Coptic Orthodox Church, noted, "This is the Psalm of the Resurrection. So the Church prays it in the early hours, since Christ rose at dawn. The Psalm gives us hope in our eternal inheritance. So it is then entitled Golden, meaning that it is a golden word, a gem of the Holy Scripture. Let us try to repeat it, thinking about each word. "You are my Lord, I have no good apart from you." The words of this prayer enfold us. We feel that God's active and loving presence encompasses everything about us and about creation. We perceive that He gathers up our past, our present, and our future. In Him, we find the strength to confidently face the sufferings we encounter and the serenity to lift up our gaze and see hope beyond the shadows of life. So how can we live this Word of Life this month? Here is an experience. Some time ago, I began to feel unwell, So I underwent a series of medical examinations that required a great deal of waiting. Finally, I found out what was wrong with me. I had Parkinson's disease. It was a huge blow. I was 58 years old. How could I have Parkinson's? I asked myself why it was happening to me. I taught motor and sports sciences, so physical activity was a part of me. I felt I was losing something so important. But then I thought back to the choice I had made when I was young. You, Jesus crucified and forsaken, are my only good. Thanks to the medication, I immediately started to feel much better, but I didn't know exactly what will happen to me in the future. I decided to live in the present moment. After the diagnosis, quite spontaneously, I wrote a song. I wanted to sing to God, "Yes, my soul is filled with peace." The words of this psalm also resonate deeply in the soul of Focolare's founder, Kara Lubick. She wrote in the commentary to the gospel phrase in June of 2001, quote, "These simple words will help us to trust in Him and train us to live with love. Continually more united to God and filled with Him, we will continually lay down the foundations of our true selves as being made in His image. During the month of June, we can be united in raising a declaration of love to God and radiate peace and serenity around us."
Yeah, another beautiful one. I can see, Bishop, why this is one of your favorite ones. You know, one of the, during this, there was the phrase right in the middle of it. It says, "In Him we find the strength to confidently face the sufferings we encounter and the serenity to lift our gaze and see hope beyond the shadows of life." It brought to mind what you were talking about in the commentary of the gospel about fear and not to let the fear take over, to let God do His will. And that's what came to mind. So it's replacing the word sufferings, or including in the word sufferings, including fear.
Yeah. You know, I think there's something that should help all of us, and it's we don't wait for the tragedies of life, or that we don't wait for the announcements, such as in this case of a disease, but we're building a relationship with God every day. We're either building it, ignoring it, or tearing it down. So I think we have to think of it in that way. Everything we do and say, and especially so, if we're not praying, for example, if we're not taking that time, and I'm not talking about saying prayers. Because we can have a person that's driving down the street and walking, cooking, and saying prayers, reciting prayers. But it's a question to all of us, are we really praying? Because prayer is our way of building up a relationship with God. So, a wife or a husband each morning, "Hey, dear, hi, dear." Is that building up a relationship? Or other common human expressions, either physically or emotionally or verbal, but is it building up a relationship? I think that's the question we have to ask in our modern time. Are we as a human person building up a relationship with God? There is a phrase that I've been promoting with the young people for confirmation at this time, and it's from the newly blessed, they call him the millennial saint, the first one, Carlo Acutis, who's died at 15. But he had an incredible statement as a young man, and he said, "We are all born original, and many of us die photocopies." The originality of our life develops with our relationship with God. If God created us, which we believe He did, we know He did, then it is our first duty as a human person to build a relationship with Him. And so that's what creates the originality in us, or fosters the originality in us, that we continue to be who we are created to be and who we are. the second part of that, when he says that we, many of us, become photocopies, means we just follow along in the human mores, the human mentalities of our day. One person has this, one person offers this, I have to have that, I have to do this, I have to be this, I have to act like this, I have to say this, I have to, you know, all of these things that we conform our life to just because it's modern, it's new, or it's old, or we want to go back to something. But nothing more than that creates photocopies. I always think it's funny, you know, how the times change styles change, and everybody has to run after it because they want to be themselves. Well, when you look at it, everybody's a photocopy of whatever the fashion says I have to be. But where's the originality of every person? The originality of every person is in their relationship with God. If we are that child of God, unique, then building the relationship with Him is what will keep that originality of me, of you, of each one of us fresh and alive. And so I think this word of the Psalm 16 is so important to us. You are my God. You are my Lord. I have no other good apart from you. Mm-hmm. That's prayer.
Mm-hmm. It is. Thank you, Bishop. That's beautiful. If you could end our session this morning with a prayer and a blessing.
Let us pray. O God, who by the mystery of today's great feast sanctify your whole church in every people and nation, pour out, we pray, the gifts of the Holy Spirit across the face of the earth, and with the divine grace that was at work when the gospel was first proclaimed, fill now once more the hearts of believers through Christ our Lord. Amen. And may Almighty God bless us, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you, Bishop. And thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Have a wonderful rest of your day and a blessed week.
This has been Our Shepherd's View with the Most Reverend Michael Mulvey, Bishop of Corpus Christi. If you have questions for the Bishop, write to Our Shepherd's View, 1200 Lantana, Corpus Christi, 78407. Or we invite you to email your questions and comments to osv@klux.org. Our Shepherd's View is a production of CCN, the Catholic Communications Network.